This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 527. And I look down and I do need some gasoil in my car, so I'm going to have to stop and do that. But we'll just pause. We'll get that done and then we'll keep going. It's been a good week. It's been an interesting week. We deployed some new technology for taking credit cards on our main web store this week. That could have gone smoother. Sometimes things could have gone smoother. We rolled it out for a Maps Teams thing at the beginning of the week. Maps stands for mobilization. It used to be Mobilization and Placement Service. Now it's something else. But that's the idea, that you've got teams of people that are coming from churches and they're going overseas and they come to this site and fill out all the information about the trip, and then they can purchase insurance for the trip and et cetera, et cetera. And then it's coordinated with the missionaries and blah, 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 blah. So that's fine and dandy. And I mean, that one stunned me, frankly, because I got all the pieces in place and we turned it on and it worked the first time. I was just, one moment. I had a few left over at church. They came from Staples. Want me to bring a yes, please? Yes, please. So perhaps that gave me a false sense of confidence. Because that was pretty complicated. I mean, we've turned it on and it went right through. It was a beautiful thing. So I went ahead and we did the stuff, got it together, turned it on for the web store. Didn't go nearly that smooth. Oh man, I was trying to dodge customers and test at the same time. Finally, it was like, forget it. And then I figured out, okay, wait, you can hardwire it up so only you are doing the new way. So I did that. That helped me kind of work through it and get the permissions in place and get all the stuff in place. And so then we went ahead and set it up for, for one of the web stores. Just a second. Cool. Heading home. Doing podcast. Oh, rats. Hold on. My wife is texting me, and I'm not supposed to be driving and texting at the same time. Cool. Heading home. Doing podcast! Exclamation point. She'll know what that means. No. Oh, what? Yeah, okay. So, I forgot to hit the button off, so I sent her a text message that said doing podcast. She'll know what that means. So anyways, so there you go. So that turned into a project, but we eventually got that done. We flipped it on this morning, and now we're having some errors. We're having some weird errors that didn't show up over on the test side. So we're monitoring it, yada, yada, yada. Sometimes things goes in smooth. Sometimes things don't go in smooth. So, we'll get there. I am not coming in tomorrow, but I have advised the gentleman where all the stuff is, how to turn this back off, what kind of problems we're having. They'll monitor tomorrow. They'll see where we are. We may or may not continue in through the weekend, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all fine and dandy. The writing seems to be going well. I'm continuing to get more stuff coming back in from my beta readers. That all seems to be fine. It's always just amazing as I'm writing and I get to a spot where I like get this inkling, okay, I need to kind of change and go talk about something else right now. And so I kind of get this inkling and I don't really know what I'm going to do, but you just sort of start writing. You get in, one moment. No, I'm doing the podcast, so I was talking to you at the same time I was recording the podcast, and she is you, exclamation point. Anyways, because Sheeron said, who is she? So there you go. So that was all fine and well, but it's really amazing that you're sitting there writing and you're just not sure where things are going. And then all of a sudden things develop. It's like, oh, hey, well, look at that. I can do that there. So it's fun. It's just fun. I like it a lot. Family's good, all is well. We have a new renter for the rock house. He seems to be doing fine. He's painting. He really likes it out there. He has a beautiful dog. Beautiful dog. Golden Lab. All that registered AKC, whatever it is, stuff. I mean, beautiful dog. So that seems to all be going fine. He's doing fine. You know, it's good. It's good. Blessed. Tomorrow is Star Wars Day, one day early, because it's not actually May the 4th, but I'm getting together with breakfast for a friend, so that'll be fine. Then go to Walmart, and it'll be fun. Some of the office people I normally visit when I do this, they're going to be leaving early, so I'm going to swing by the office a little early before most people get there and see them, and then go do some grocery shopping, and then swing by and see some of the other people that I normally do. Hopefully, I will not get mugged tomorrow. So, because there's a reason for the outfit, and it all makes sense, and so it's all good, you know. But I don't think anyone's going to be offended. So, you know, I think it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fine. Sure. Anyways, I got to drop in and get some gas. And then we got to see how it goes. And then I may need to make one more stop. So we're going to do gas first. We'll get that. And then I may do one more stop. May run in and see my beloved real quick. So we're going to pause this for a moment. I'll be right back. Okay, got gas. Anyway, so I'm going to swing by church real quick here and grab a transparency. Because I have kind of sunglasses kind of things for tomorrow, but they do have the dark film in them, and actually they are 3D, they're actually 3D cinema 3D glasses that they would give you, except these ones you actually purchased. I was so thrilled when I found these. It's just like, they went with the outfit and everything. I was like, score! And I found they were more expensive, but I found them on eBay cheap. So I was like, man, there it is. And I discovered this morning that I can actually pop off the back and put a different colored plastic film in there. And my wife had purchased some plastic films that she printed on. So I'm going to go borrow one of those. And then I'll print them tonight, and that way I can make the quote-unquote lenses any color that I want. So we're going to try that tonight. If that doesn't work, that's fine. I'll either just leave the current gray lenses in that are there, or I'll just pop them out, just not have lenses, pieces of plastic in there at all. We'll see. It's fine. We'll see. So all that's good. We're everything's good, 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 blessed, good. Good. It's been a good week. Anyways, so I'm just going to barely get started on this, and then I'm going to have to interrupt again. But I came across this video of Jennifer Lopez. I think it was for Glamour magazine that she was doing this interview, and she was talking about how that her biggest moment in fashion. She was talking about her biggest moment in fashion. And, or the most memorable moment or something, and how it came about, etc., etc., etc. So, and it was fascinating to me as she was talking about this, because I I do not believe that any man would hear her account and interpret it the way she was interpreting it. And in fact, as I was telling my daughter about this account, trying to represent it accurately, she kind of frowned at me. She looked and she said, "So what? So she doesn't know that, you know." Now, okay, Jennifer Lopez obviously is a person hugely in the public eye. And she has a public persona, of course, that she has to put forth. And there is a certain quality that we require of attractive women, that they don't know too much about life and the mechanisms of life, because we want them to be quote-unquote innocent. So, you know, there are all those factors involved in all of this as well, but this was a fairly extended, multiple minutes, and she maintained that illusion, if it is an illusion, or if it's reality, I don't know for sure, but she maintained this illusion for several minutes running. So, one moment, I gotta go grab some transparencies, I'll be right back. Okay, so I'm back. So, for the purposes of this exercise, we will say that this is a factual account. That in fact, what she is expressing is her understanding and appreciation of the moment for what it was, because I think it's very insightful. And in fact, I have had experiences in talking with mature women about life, the universe, and everything that seem to enforce this idea that there is a great divide, a great divide on how males versus females understand the reproductive mechanisms. And so that's, as I was listening to this, I thought, wow, this is interesting, because she acts like she's completely shocked by this whole thing. And I think this was fairly predictable. So anyways, in case you haven't already jumped to the conclusion, she said in this interview, she just started out, and she said, "Probably my biggest fashion moment ever was wearing the green Versace jungle print dress." Now, anyone who's been alive for the last few years in America has probably seen a picture of this dress. If you haven't, I'll just try to give you an overview. This dress is basically, it's like a wrap that doesn't close in front. So it's this filmy material. It looks nearly transparent on the body, but I would imagine there was some lining in there because she wasn't showing that much in her torso. But it basically looks like a robe that you just gathered together around the waist, and that was it. So it's basically split all the way down the front, below her belly button, and then it splits again. And so there's matching panties that go along with it, but then the rest of the dress is just like a cape. That's all. That's all there is to this dress. So when she talks about her biggest fashion moment, that's the dress she's talking about. And it's fairly wide at the top, so she's showing a considerable amount of cleavage. At least half of each breast is just exposed, and there you go. So she was talking about the fact that when that came about, she was actually filming The Wedding Planner with Matthew McConaughey. And so they were on set and they were doing, there's some horseback riding scene, et cetera, et cetera. They're doing that. She didn't really have time to get fitted, but she was nominated and she was presenting. And so at the Grammys, and so, you know, she was out in the middle of nowhere, comes galloping back in. And her stylist said, look, you know, the Grammys are tomorrow. We don't have any time to do a fitting, but we've got to get this done. We've got to figure out what you're wearing. And so, of course, that's the stylist's job. So she comes barreling in the day before the Grammys, and the stylist had narrowed it down. All the dresses were gone by that point, because usually you do that weeks in. Narrowed it down to this green Versace jungle print dress and some kind of white dress, she said. She didn't even remember who made it. And the stylist was saying, you know, this green Versace dress has been worn before. It's been worn, I think, to the Grammys before. You know, the lady Versace herself, Donna Versace, I guess, has actually worn this. I would not recommend this. That's faux pas. You just don't rewear stuff. So she said her manager was just like, oh, just put it on anyways. Let's just see it. So she puts this dress on, you know, that's basically huge cleavage and, I mean, you know, huge opening in front, huge above and below the waist. And she walks out, and her manager, who is a guy, says, that's it. This is the dress we're doing. We're doing this dress. And the stylist is like, no, this dress has already been done. We can't do this dress. No, that's it. We're doing this dress. No more discussion, you know. And so at that point, Jennifer kind of thought, well, okay, you know, so we'll do that. She said, one of the things we did is she said we took a bunch of double-sided tape, obviously, and plastered it down so it wouldn't move. And she kind of jokingly said, well, so she said, you know, I'm sure some people were concerned whether or not my boobs were going to pop out because it was so low cut. But she said, we laid down double stick paint tape or tape to put it down and stuck the dress. So she said, there really was no danger of that. She said, but I guess people thought I was going to. probably that's what they thought. And it's interesting because the costume designer for the original Star Trek used to have a saying that an outfit is specifically for women. That part of what makes an outfit titillating is how, quote, accident-prone it might be. So if it looks like it's ready just to fall off a shoulder and there's going to be breasts exposed or there's going to be bottoms exposed, then people like to watch that. So there you go. Anyway, so she said, you know, she said we get hair and makeup done, all that kind of stuff. She said I'm running late that day. She said, which I typically am. So she said that the car drove up, and she said when we arrived, it was later, so there were a lot of people kind of waiting, and she said she couldn't remember the word, but bottleneck is the word. She eventually figured out that when they got out of the car and kind of walked up to start to do the red carpet thing, she said there was a whole cluster of people there. And she said, you know, so we started walking up, and we were going to wait, and she said, so we hit the red carpet and, you know, there was a bottleneck there. And she said, and then as we started walking up to it, she said, all of a sudden, she said, you start to hear like this murmur. And I was thinking, well, I wonder what's happening. I wonder what's going on. And I'm looking around because it's the Grammys. And she said, I'm thinking it has to be, you know, somebody famous or something. And then I realized that everybody starts moving and making room for us. And we hit the red carpet, and she said it was just a frenzy. All the flashes started going off in a way that's not usual, and there was this unusual extra kinetic energy there. Yeah, I bet there was. And I was like, what the hell is going on? I had no idea that it was about the dress. So she said, but they bustled through and she took her pictures. And so she said, she gets backstage and she meets David Duchovny, who she's presenting with. And they were the first presenters. And so, you know, he and I were presenting the first award together. And so we walk out on stage, meet totally unsuspecting, walk out. And she said, as I'm walking out, the wind hits the dress, or the something, breeze hits the dress. And she says, it blows it open. So she said, I'm like bare here and bare there. And she says, everybody thinks I'm going to pop out. And she said, all of a sudden, there's this slow murmur and everybody starts clapping. And we get like an ovation for standing there. And they've got a stupid, she said, and they've got very stupidly sort of smile on my face. And she said, and then David Duchovny leans over and he basically kind of grinned and he leaned down and he said, you know, Jennifer, this is the first time in 5 or 6 years, because at that time he was on the X-Files and it was like a top show. He said, Jennifer, he said, this is the first time in 5 or 6 years that I'm sure no one's looking at me. Because, okay, so, and she's just, you know, she said, the thing about that is, she said, that dress becomes something that everyone still references. And she said, you know, I didn't win that night, the Grammy. And she said, it was a very sad occasion, but she said, the next day, I'm on the cover of the LA Times and New York papers, and everything's about this dress. And she said, way down in a small corner is the fact that Santana has won 11 Grammy Awards that night, but no one really cares. So her take on this is, she says, you know, you give people, quote, an inspiration. It puts a beautiful moment out in the world, and it changes the style. One dress can change the trajectory of how people dress for the next 10 years. It's a crazy impact that fashion can have. And those fashion statements have been solidifying a personality, a moment, a style, a movement of all those things. Well, it was a really exciting time. So she said, and then years later, she said, I found out that because of that night and because of that dress, Google Images was actually created, because so many people went searching for the image and they had no idea how to search for a picture at the time on the internet. And so Google created Google Images so you could just Google whatever, Jennifer Lawrence, whatever it is, jungle print dress. I'm getting my mail. And it would just come up. So, you know, I'm listening to all this and I'm thinking that, you know, she's talking about how this is just so amazing. Okay, well, and she kind of wanders into it when she starts talking about the fact that, you know, well, maybe people, just thought I was going to pop out of the dress, and maybe that's why. But at the end of the day, whoa, we have lots of packages. Hold on. Let's see. That one is for my beloved. And this one is for me, because this was part of testing, and so I had to order some stuff. And this one is for the young lady who lives with us. That's for her dog. And this one. Hold on. Oh, come on. Okay, putting it in park. Here we go. Question is, can I actually get it out, or am I going to have a backup? Nope, I can get it out. And this one is for my beloved. Okay. So, I have had conversations with attractive women in the past, and we've talked about men and talked about subsystems and talked about that kind of stuff. And I've told them, you know, honestly, there's a question that pops into a man's mind as soon as he walks into a room. because there's these deep subsystems that are honestly targeting subsystems. They exist way below the level. Way below the level of any kind of individuality, of any kind of empathy, of any kind of consciousness, of any kind of, I mean, they just exist below all that. And they have a job. And these are the same subsystems that work out in the animal kingdom. And these subsystems have one job for the male. And that is, can I inseminate it? You know, that's the whole thing. And even that can I inseminate it is coming from a higher subsystem. These low subsystems are just triggering and reacting to things like symmetrical faces, long, healthy-looking hair, hip-to-waist ratios, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that they react to is size of breast and, you know, it's just a targeting algorithm is all it is. And it's just cascading off and triggering up and that kind of thing. Because what do we care? Why would we care at all whether Jennifer Lawrence pops out of this dress or not? And she shows her breast. It's just a breast. And maybe I have a little different perspective on it since I grew up in the Philippines. But I mean, it's just a breast. And yet, there are these targeting mechanisms within, you know, that will cause a man to look because it's evaluating, you know, and I've always found it a bit disingenuous if women are going to bear their cleavage, which they have every right in the world to do. I'm not saying they shouldn't. If women want to bear their cleavage, that's fine. But then to be offended and shocked, the man would look. Well, it's a targeting mechanism, you know? I mean, one glance doesn't mean anything. You know, it's the same thing that if you throw a baseball at a guy, he's going to target it. You know, it's just that it's a subsystem. Those things exist. Now, what happens beyond that then? What goes on in the mind, the lies that the flesh will try to tell you about that person simply because they're showing some cleavage, the decision to dwell on those things, to look, to lust, all those are something else. But it's really fascinating to me that someone like a Jennifer Lawrence, who obviously is at the highest pinnacle when you're talking about the reproductive marketplace and the value that is placed in the reproductive marketplace on women. You've got someone with Jennifer Lawrence who has been at that pinnacle for many, many years, who has encountered countless men. For her to express slight confusion and lack of knowledge over why people would react to this dress, you know, if it's not disingenuous, that's a fascinating thing. You know, obviously, the naked female human body, guys are built to react to that. And the reason that they react to that is because they are trying to determine if there is an opportunity for them to inseminate something, because it's driven right out of the reproductive functions. And I've said this before, and it's a little crude, but I think it's true that honestly, most of fashion for women, most of fashion comes down to baby feeders and insemination ports. Because fashion camps on to this natural urge in men to evoke men looking. Now, the question is, okay, so you've got all of the men in that room, all of the men in that press corps shouting and hollering and taking pictures because their reproductive systems are being ginned up. But the question then is, why are getting that same reaction out of women murmuring, whoa, look, whoa, you know, that's wow, whoa, you know, that kind of thing. Because for women, when they're looking at Jennifer Lawrence, granted, some will be lusting after her, but for them, it's not so much that they're lusting after her, but they're recognizing the lust that she is inspiring in the men, and they're looking towards that then as an acclamation, because they know that when she walks out in that dress, that she could have her pick of any of the men who are in that room. And part of a woman's reproductive function is to find the best mates, to find the most protection for their children, to find the most capable, highest status, highest earning, so where a nest can be built, where those children can be raised, because women are playing a much longer game than simply getting inseminated, because we've talked about this before. You have to incubate, and then you have to have a nest, and you've got to domesticate, and you've got to do all those things. So, I mean, to hear someone with the level of experience that Jennifer Lawrence absolutely must have, and to hear it obfuscated into, well, I guess maybe they thought I was going to pop out, you know? I mean, yeah, well, maybe that's at the most surface level, but that's certainly not what's going on, truly going on. It's just really, really fascinating. It just was really, really fascinating to listen to her recount this and see it from her viewpoint. And as I said, you know, who knows if she's really this innocent and naive, or it's really just an act that she knows she needs to play. Because if she doesn't, she'll sound jaded. And if she sounds jaded, then she's going to get a different reaction. I would imagine the truth is somewhere in between those two. But it is just fascinating to note. And it is fascinating to note that it does fall in line with the reactions that I've had in discussing these matter with other women, that women really don't understand what's going on inside of a guy, just like men really don't understand what's going on inside of women. But I think, you know, if we're going to function well in our marriages, it really would be a good idea if we had more discussions about this and just recognize that these subsystems are down there. So anyways, I know I've covered this before, but it was just fascinating to me. Have a great weekend. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.